Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Grace View, a discussion forum of life-enriching topics that pertain to family, men, philosophical perspectives, women, and singles. The Grace View is a production of John Davis Marshall and the Solomon Society. The Grace View may be heard live Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by dialing 347-989-0722. Or it can be heard anytime online at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Grace View. Now stay tuned for today's edition of Focus Family. If you have a question or comment, please dial the number 1 on your phone and we will give you the opportunity to speak.
Good evening and welcome to Focus Family. I am your host, Conley Gibbs, for this evening. We thank you for listening. We thank you for your time. We know that there are other places you can be, other things you can be doing. We do not take that for granted, so I always like to begin by thanking you for your time. I want to apologize on last week. We were not able to host our show. There were some technical difficulties with our server, but we were able to get that resolved, and we're back on this week. And so we want you, if you will, to send a text message or instant message or get a hold of people and let them know that we are back on the air and all is well. Tonight we want to talk about differences and how we develop our differences and how to work together through those things. So often we are in relationships and we just can't see eye to eye. We argue, we fuss, we are unfulfilled. And so we're going to talk about some of those things tonight that will be helpful and healthy in us being able to move forward in our relationships. And I want this to be as conversational as possible. And so if you would, dial 1 on your phone and we'll get your comments or your questions on the air, and we will be more than happy to do that. Also, we have on with us tonight Pat, who is going to be a co-panelist with me tonight. Pat, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Conley. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How was your day?
I am doing fabulous. My day was well.
Okay, well, we're happy to have you on with us. We want to thank you for your time as well. Pat, do you find that in relationships, and it doesn't necessarily have to be husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, it can just be relationships with any person. It can be two business partners. It can be two friends. Do you find that sometimes there are issues that surface and it's just impossible to get two people on the same page?
Well, I think that it's bound to happen. Not everybody is going to be on the same page and they're going to view things differently. I think the thing is that you have to maybe, you know, understand why that person have the view that they have and just accept it. Trying to get somebody to see your point, I know, because we're human and that's what we like to do. We like to get people to see our point and our issue and where we're coming from. And if you can't see where I'm coming from, then you're wrong. And that's not the point. For me, I there are differences, and for me, I try to understand why that person come to the conclusion that they have, and I accept it and I respect it. I think that's where a lot of people go wrong when it comes to perspective.
I want to ask this question of our audience. Do you think it is more important to convince someone of your viewpoint, to persuade them to your side, or is it more important to establish a respect even when we have differences? So do we have to persuade a person to our side, or do we learn to respect the difference, and can we coexist with a difference as long as we have respect? So any of our listeners that like to tackle that question, feel free to chime in. While you are contemplating chiming in, Pat, let me say that when we talk about differences, one of the things that I mention so often to people is that we are all complex human beings, and we come from different backgrounds and different experiences. We have all had different variables in life that make us who we are. But interestingly, people living in the same household can be very different. My parents have four children. It's three boys and one girl. And the four of us are as different can be. Now, we have same parents, same room, same house, same food, same water, same school. Every aspect of our lives, for the most part, was the same. Yet, we develop completely different personalities. Pat, how do you think it is that two or more people living in the same household who grow up as siblings can develop different personalities and different perspectives?
You know, I was raised with, I have two older sisters and one older brother, and with, you know, it was, for me, it was three girls and one boy, and we all four are different. It's night and day. And we grew up, you know, the same way, you know, both parents, and, you know, ate at the same table, raised in the same house, watched the same programs, and we all have different views. And sometimes I think it's not so much as what goes also on the inside the home. It may be other outside influences as well that maybe have played a part in how a person thinks and what they how they look at things. I mean, we all went to the same schools, but then at the same time, there is a little age difference with me and my sisters. So we had different teachers, and I spent a lot of time in school and doing extra curricular activities versus it being at home. So my parents did have an influence in my life, but there were also other individuals as well that had influences in my life to help me grow and form the opinions and the way that I think and my thought process. So that's the only thing I can think about, you know, from my own experience, you know, having siblings as well, and we are totally don't think the same at all. And all four of us went different life paths. But like I say, it was outside influences as well, I think, that play a part in it.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. There is something, and I'm not sure if our callers are familiar with this, and I just want to use this as an example with our siblings because I want to help us understand in relationships how people develop some of their personalities and preferences. In psychology, there is a theory called place theory, and it's a very simple concept where psychologists say that some of our personality is shaped by where we're placed in the family. For example, if you are the oldest, if you are the middle child, if you are the baby, if you come from a large family, if you come from a small family, that there are aspects of who you are that are made or influenced by your place in the family. For example, the oldest child statistically is said to be more responsible. The baby child is statistically said to be more rebellious. The middle child tends to be the one who has the personality to balance the family out because they're in the middle, things of that nature. Now, whether or not people agree with that in full, we certainly can say that a part of how we develop a personality is based on our family dynamic. And so when you look at a case like you or me, where we both come from homes where there were four children, certainly the rules and things of the house were the same for each, but the application is different because I know that when my older brother wasn't home and chose to spend the a great amount of time with my grandparents that left me there as the oldest, and I had to cook and clean and take care of my little sister and brother. And so I had to develop responsibilities and things at a very early age. And as of course, as is typical of the older children, you tend to feel like the younger children get away with more, things of that nature. And so, like, if you look at me and you look at my siblings, you could definitely tell a very difference in our personalities. But I think it's because of responsibilities we had at the time.
We have a
caller. Hold your thought for just a second.
Sure.
1340, you're on the air. 1340, you're on the air.
Yes. I had a friend that, to your first question, that used to say that we can agree to disagree. You know, everybody has opinions. Like you said, raised in the same household, but turn out different ways. So we have that agreement amongst ourselves that we will agree to disagree, because you can't always sway someone to feel the same way that you do about any particular subject. And what you were just saying about the different siblings, I'm the youngest of three girls. There's 2 years between me and my middle sister and 3 years between me and my older sister. They're a year apart. And I've been the more responsible one. The middle one has been the more rebellious one. And my older sister, I would say, had balance. The way that I look at her, she's been the one that is more emotional than anybody. But raised in the same house, you know, ate the same food, just like you said, but we're totally different. Where, like I said, my middle sister, she did some things that I would have never dreamed of doing, or I was too scared to even try to do, for getting in trouble. But she took the chances, you know, and it's just same parents. You know, our dad died when we were three, but mom was there, and she was a firm disciplinarian. But, you know, and like you were saying, I think it's outside influences. You know, we had different friends in school, and peer pressure. Some children aren't as strong to peer pressure. And I think that's why my middle sister did some of the things that she did due to peer pressure.
So are you saying that a part of the personality of your family dynamic was influenced not only by the household, but by, well, you said outside influences, so peers or whatever were instrumental in helping to develop those personality traits?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying, because looking back at my own life, I was very active in the church when we all became members of the Body of Christ. And I participated in the youth conferences and the youth rallies, and I sang in the youth group, and we went to the nursing homes and did all of those things. My older sisters did not. And I'm more rooted and grounded in the Word more so than they are. You know, and that those were my outside influences, was more spiritual than their outside influence, was more of the secular world and school and friends in school.
Okay, well, we thank you for calling, and we appreciate you making a comment. Thank you so much. Pat, you were getting ready to make a comment.
I was going to actually comment on your comment that you made. There was an 11 years age difference between me and my older sister. And so I was raised to think of her as not only as my sister, but as an authority figure, almost like a mother figure in my life. My middle sister is actually maybe 2.5 years older than me, And so when we were growing up, Michelle was raised the same way as I was, to think of my older sister as a, more of an authority figure. And she respected her in that way. Me, I was a little different. I was younger. For some reason, I got smart and realized she was just my sister and not my mother. And so I totally rebelled. But all three of us was raised in a household. The same rules apply to us. We're all three are different. My brother also did not rebel against my sister, but he also took an avenue different than all of us have taken. And he has to be responsible for his actions. But with that being said, all of us was raised the same way. But I also, like, I agree with the young lady said with the caller, it's your outside influences, I think, as well. She got into the church, and so she was a little bit more grounded versus in her other siblings. I was not so much that I got into the church, but I did have a lot of other outside influences. I did a lot of things with school and with education that I was really never at home, and my other sisters and siblings didn't take that way. One sister took, you know, she was an athlete, so she took that avenue. And she thinks way differently than I do. And then my older sister was pretty much a homebody. She didn't have too much outside influences. but all three of us think totally different. But you know what? I respect the way that my sisters think, and they respect the way that I think. And even though we can disagree on some things, we respect the way that each other think.
Okay, now you mentioned something that I want to go with in terms of looking at how we develop our perspectives in relationships with other people. You mentioned your sister who is, and you say 11 years older than you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you said that she was more or less like a mother figure to you. Whether
yes.
or not that was intentional or not, the reality is, she was like a mother figure. So take
right.
a person like her and put her in a relationship, whether we're talking about a relationship with a husband, a relationship with a business partner, a relationship with a next-door neighbor, just the dynamics of personality. Is it not reasonable that people who were reared in such a way where they more or less had to be authority figures,
mm-hmm.
develop that mindset so that in relationships they take on a more dominant role, and maybe a spouse or friend or business partner can't understand why they take charge and take control, when in reality they were reared in such a way that they couldn't help, they can't help it to some extent because that was how they were trained.
You know what? I totally agree. My sister, who is 11 years older than me, was a born natural leader. So she's very strong and she's very independent. And she, even after we, you know, grew up and get out and was out of the house, even to this day, she is still very dominant. She's very much the leader when it comes to all the siblings. And we do look up to her, and, you know, we respect her. And I can definitely say that that has definitely played a part in her career, in every position that she has ever held in her career, also in her social life as well, because she was very dominant, because she kind of sort of had to be. My mother... I'm not going to say my mother put her in that position, but maybe, I don't know if she even put herself in that position, but because she was so much older than us, she knew that we looked up to her, so she had to carry herself in a certain way, in a certain manner. So absolutely, I totally agree with that.
Here's something that I recommend to people when you are contemplating serious relationships. Again, I'm talking about a variety of relationships. We have to be very careful that we don't look so much at what we see today in people without trying to understand some of the historical factors in a person's life. when you marry a person, when you enter into a partnership with another individual, you are in fact marrying a person who has a past, a person who has experiences, a person who has a perception of life based on where they've been, where they've gone, what they've experienced. And for that reason, we get into relationships and we say, well, I just can't understand why you're this way.
Mm-hmm.
Or I just can't understand why you do this and won't do that. But we don't take the time to really ask questions to help us to get to understand who a person really is.
You know, I totally agree. I think when it comes to dating now, it's not so much that, you know, boy meet girl and they fall in love and they live happily ever after. You know, when you're dating someone, especially if you're considering, well, maybe I shouldn't say dating, maybe I should say courting someone, and you're especially want to take it to the next level, there are some things you definitely have to look at. You know, do they come from a single-parent home or two-parent home? You know, hey, if they have siblings, where they do lie within those sibling ranks? You know, were they the one that, you know, had to take care of everything, or were they the, you know, the individual that was irresponsible in the family? I mean, you definitely have to look at all of that now when you are courting someone, and, you know, definitely taking, you know, thinking about marriage, because it definitely plays a part in your relationship and how your relationship is going to be with them through the long run.
One of the things that I'd like to offer as a tool in helping to work through differences is the idea that you can't always discount the difference because you disagree with it. One of the ways to deal with it is to ask the person, why do you feel this way? Can you help me to understand what this means to you, or why this means this to you, so that I can learn to respect the difference, because now I have some insight into who you are and I can respect that about you, even though I might disagree with it personally. See, we're so busy trying to convince people of our perspective that we don't take time to appreciate that they have a perspective. Well, let me give this example, and I may have shared it on this show before, but this example is one that is so important to me, and it's something that my wife and I share with people as a way of ministering to them in these types of situations. There was a time in my marriage where my wife and I had a very sharp disagreement about me working. And it's not that she didn't want me to work. She just didn't want me to work as much as I was. I was literally working sun up to sun down. I mean, just every opportunity that I could get to work, I was working. And she kept complaining that I wasn't home. I kept complaining that, hey, I'm trying to take care of the household and things of this nature. And what we had to learn was why that was so important to each other. What I learned about my wife is that her father spent a lot of time working and never went to any of her events at school and things of that nature. Excellent provider, excellent guy, had nothing but love for him. But that was just the reality, that he worked so much that he missed a lot of his children's childhood. So for her, it was important to have someone as a husband who would be there and spend time with her. For me, I grew up and we had experiences growing up where we just didn't have it financially. I mean, we sometimes ate syrup sandwiches. We didn't always have running water in the house. We got evicted a couple of times. I mean, we grew up just really struggling financially. And so for me, working was a means of trying to make sure that my family did not go through the same things that I went through. Now, we had a very, very strong argument about this some, you know, 16, 17, 18 years ago, however long ago it was. And we had to talk with each other to learn that, you know, she can't see why I don't see the value in us spending more time together. And I can't see why she ain't happy that I'm working, taking care of the family. And what we learned is to listen to each other, to find out why do you all feel so strongly about your differences. And when we did that, then we were able to come together and compromise. But if it was just simply an argument where I'm going to convince you and you're going to convince me, we would never get anywhere. But by asking the question, why do you feel so strong about this? Why is this so important? Then we got to appreciate each other more and got a chance to really learn to love and respect each other and work through that. Now that's not even an issue for us. Back then it was. And so what we use that story now as a means of ministering to people and saying there's value in talking to each other.
Mm.
Pat, I know you couldn't imagine anybody arguing with me, but that happens.
I was going to say that's probably the one and only argument you and Donita ever had in life.
No, we've had differences, but we've just learned that you have to work through those things and you have to communicate.
Right.
And that brings me to another point. When you are communicating about your differences and trying to work through them, you have to value what that means to your spouse as opposed to what other people are filling your head with. Because it's easy in a situation like that to get caught up in how other people feel about it as opposed to how your spouse feels about it. You know, for example, you could take a situation like I just mentioned, and you can get a woman, oh, I wish I had a man working hard for me like that. Oh, I would just love a man working hard for me like that. Oh, man, what I would do for a man that worked hard for me like that. And in the process, if you're not grounded and mature and humble when it comes to what you're hearing externally, you start to defend your position based on the idea, well, everybody else would be happy with this, why ain't you? So you start to look
right.
at your spouse like they're wrong because you're being validated somewhere else. And the only validation that counts is in your relationship.
I agree. Especially if you have outside influences and you're not, and you're just listening to those outside influences, I mean, it can definitely cause some turmoil, I think, within your relationship with your spouse. For me, I just noticed that, you know, when I was younger, I did things a little bit differently. Now that I'm older, I pray on things a lot these days before I even open up my mouth. And I just ask God to give me the wisdom to understand what this person wants me to see. And even though I don't, or maybe, you know, don't agree with what they have to say, but still just give me the patience and give them the respect to listen to them, because everybody deserves respect. And sometimes people just want to be heard. And you don't have to agree with their opinion or not, but they're able to express it, you know, in a dignified manner, then I'm open to listen to it. And you'll be surprised when somebody says something. You'll be surprised about, you know, that you may say, oh, okay, you know what, I think I see why you came that way. I can understand why maybe you thought this particular way, why you're thinking this particular way. And you can respect it, even though, you know, you may think something totally different.
And the key word is what you just said, respect. We have to learn to respect people and their right to disagree, because people think respect means agreeing. We can disagree and still have respect.
Absolutely.
And I don't think people understand that we will not always agree.
Absolutely. We won't.
You are listening to Focus Family. We are so thankful for this conversation tonight, as we know that all of our listeners, because we're human, we deal with people, whether it's our spouse, whether it's our coworkers, whether it's our business partners. whether it's our next-door neighbor. We deal with people who differ from us in opinions and preferences and things of that nature. And we will never have an opportunity to convince everybody of our way. We will never have an opportunity to always persuade other people in our lives that our way is the way. But we do have an opportunity to work through those things. We do have an opportunity to show respect. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is how to use those tools and work through some of those things. Pat, let me offer a biblical principle, and I want to encourage your callers, if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, to dial one on your phone and we'll get you on. One of the principles in the Bible that you don't hear people talking about a lot, the Bible says, esteem other better than self, that we are to esteem others better than self. The Bible teaches us to prefer others. The Bible teaches us to put others first.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think people have such a hard time employing this biblical principle of esteeming others better than self?
I think personally, most people, I mean, they're human, so they're going to put themselves first. It's just nature to protect thyself versus, you know, having to put somebody before you. You know, that's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of people. That means you have to be selfless. And I think a lot of people, that's tough for a lot of people. I think that's a challenge for a lot of individuals.
That is a part of our transformation and conversion as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
0068, you're on the air.
Yes, I was just listening to all the callers. My perspective on everything is that everybody has their own fingertips. Everyone does things differently. Yet, our social realms played a great role in everything we do. We all live in the same household, eat the same things, drink the same water, everything. Nevertheless, when we go out into the world, we are different, so we grasp things differently. We learn differently, and we take heed differently. We react differently. If we don't understand that everybody is different, people will be ignorant and not understand and react and help others the way they need to be helped. And they look other people differently. People have low self-esteem. That's why they tend to just nitpick, point, and accuse, and judge people. It's not right to do that, in my perspective of this situation. And I feel like, as a human being, as a disciple, as part of the body of Christ, we are supposed to put others before we put ourselves. You put God first, and then whoever else is in our existence, and then ourselves.
Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for making a comment. We really appreciate that, and we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Pat, the last caller made a very valuable point that we have not discussed in this session. And she said that a part of the human struggle basically is people have low self-esteem and are struggling with their self-image. And so a lot of why we as people struggle with other people's differences may not at all be about the other person. Maybe it's about how the person feels about themselves.
You know what? I definitely see that point as well. Sometimes we seem to take some of our internal battles and put it outward and form opinions because of that. I mean, you know, having low self-esteem is definitely it's a challenge, and it can definitely affect you in so many ways. It can affect your thought pattern, you know, not only about yourself, but maybe about other individuals as well. Some people may use it as a way to lash out because they're not feeling good about themselves, so they'll lash out against others. I mean, low self-esteem is definitely something that's key here when it comes to perspectives. I think it definitely plays a big part in it.
So a part of the struggle with low self-esteem is the idea that if I surrender my position or if I esteem you, then that doesn't validate me or build me up. And because I'm struggling with that, then it's going to always be a battle because I really need you to accept my view and respect my view because I'm not basing my self-respect just on how I feel about me. I'm basing it on how you feel about me. Is that what we're saying?
We can definitely be saying that. But what we also need to understand that it's not about us personally. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the other individual. It's about doing what's right. And just because you decide to sit and listen doesn't mean you lost the battle. it doesn't. You can definitely hear a person's opinion and hear them out and respect it. Does not mean that their opinion was right or that yours was wrong. Yours are right. Yours right and theirs wrong. It's just that you gave the opportunity for the individual to speak. That's not a sign of weakness. And I think a lot of us sometimes feel like it is a sign of weakness. If I yell louder, if I use bigger words, then I won the battle. And that's not it.
One of the challenges that we have in communication is we tend to talk at each other and don't talk to each other. You mentioned using voice inflection or changing our tone, getting louder, using hurtful words. It's that demand for attention and making sure that we're going to be heard. And oftentimes, as much talking as we're doing, we are not really being heard. When I do marriage counseling, it's fascinating. And when I say fascinating, I don't mean exciting. I mean fascinating in the sense that you're just in awe of the fact that people don't get some of the simplest things at times. But what's interesting to me is a couple can sit down in counseling and say, this is my fault, my feeling, my view. And a spouse will receive that and say, I never knew that. And then they'll say, well, I've been telling you that for the last 6 months. This is what I've been telling you. And the other person is just shocked, like, wow, this is the first time I'm hearing you feel this way or you think this way. And then the other person gets angry because they're like, what do you mean? It's, you know, you never knew I felt this way, You know, I've been telling you this for 6 months. And what you discover in instances like that, yes, the person has been saying it for 6 months, but the way that they communicate it has caused the other person to shut down, and they no longer are receiving. See, communication is a two-way process. It's not just what is sent, but it's also what's received. And so we have to look at how we communicate to determine if the person is really receiving what we're putting out.
I agree. Individuals, if you're, you know, I always tell people I don't like being, I like being preached to, I don't like being preached at. when you are talking to an individual, I think in a calm manner and expressing how you feel about a certain situation, there might be other factors as well that might be letting that other individual not see, you know, what that person is saying or trying to communicate. It could be outside factors. You know, it could be friends whispering in their ears and saying, oh, you know, this, you know, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. So when they come home, they have this already notion in their head that this is the way it is and this is it, and they won't empty that out to listen to that other person because they have those other outside influences telling them, you know, maybe what they think their opinion is.
When we look at the dynamics of a relationship, certainly there are going to be times that we have differences. Some of those differences are easier and some are harder than others to deal with. As we communicate, as you say, that you don't want to be preached at, you don't mind being preached to, people don't mind you sharing something, but we have to be able to sow into the relationship very simple things like courtesy, consideration, listening. One of the things that I encourage people to do, and I offer this in my book on marriage, I say that when we argue, and you're going to argue in marriage, you're going to have differences. But instead of insisting on being heard, we have to reorient ourselves to insist on listening. We've all heard the cliche, God gave us 2 ears, 1 mouth. We should be doing twice as much listening as we do talking. And people want to be heard. And so what I challenge us to do is not to insist on being heard, but I want to challenge us to insist on, I'm really going to listen. I'm really going to hear. I'm really going to pay attention and see what a difference that makes when you focus on the listening as opposed to the talking.
You know, let me ask you this question. I want to ask a question about maybe perspective and listening to not only to your spouse, but let's say your children. Kids, no matter what age they are, have an opinion, I think, personally. And I think sometimes children feel like they're not being heard because they feel like they are kids. So, you know, mother or daddy, you know, think I'm a kid, so they don't really listen to my opinion. I don't even value what I have to say about certain things. As a parent of 2 children, talk to us a little bit about maybe, you know, listening to children and their perspectives and how that should be handled.
I would make the case that it is extremely important for us to listen to our children. When we listen to them, we find out a number of things that are important to us in being great parents. We find out what they know. We find out what their value system is. We find out who's influencing them. We find out where their priorities are. Unfortunately, many parents talk to their children but never allow their children to talk to them, maybe because they assume that they know what's best for them, or maybe they're afraid of what their kids are going to say. But the fact that we have so many children turning to drugs, running away from home, and unfortunately we have a tremendous epidemic in our community of young people committing suicide. The fact that these things are so prevalent, to me, validates the need to talk to our children and allow our children to talk to us. Now, what we have to recognize is we have to ask some uncomfortable questions sometimes. And in asking those questions, it's better to head something off at the path as opposed to finding out years later that you have a problem. Let me offer this example. I met a man recently who was a CEO of a company and was a millionaire. And he shared with me that he got out of the for-profit sector and got into the non-for-profit sector. And he said what he was motivated by was the idea that his children, and they're grown now, but at the time his children were 13 and 15, and he did not know for a significant amount of time, but he learned that his 13 and 15-year-old were alcoholics. And he thought that he was giving them the world and doing his job as being this great father and CEO of a company, and he didn't recognize in his own household he had not one but two children who were alcoholics. And he did share with me that what really was eye-opening for him is he found a clinic or a place where he could take his kids that they would stay there for a period of time. It was a treatment program designed specifically for children who were alcoholic. And he said it just blew his mind that there would be a place dedicated to children. And that this would be, you know, such an issue that we even need to create this place. And he told me when he got there to take his sons there, he was overwhelmed by the idea that they shared with him the higher your income, the more likely it is that your children will have a substance abuse problem. Completely blew him away to the extent that he decided to take his life in a different direction and dedicate himself to the non-for-profit segment and doing things to help people. But my point is this. When you look at a situation like that, how many of us have issues going on with our children, whether it's the case of the CEO or it's alcoholism or the numerous other things that are going on with our kids, and we're not aware of them because we're not talking with them and allowing them to talk with us?
It might be overwhelming. I just know that sometimes children feel like, and I remember even myself growing up as a child, that my opinion didn't matter. So, because I'm a kid, you know, you're a child, you know, it's do what I say, you know, don't question what I say. And I know some children might be feeling that. And, you know, and like I said, I think children do have a, you know, they have an opinion. They should be allowed to maybe voice their opinion or their concern or their perspective about something and not be penalized for that or, you know, or not be reprimanded because of how they feel or they want to express themselves. So that was just, I was just curious about that.
Well, you know, I was raised with the teaching children are to be seen and not heard. And we were told we didn't have opinions, that the adults around us said, you know, they give us our opinions. And I look at some of the outcomes in some of my family members and just wonder if some of the struggles that some of my cousins, for example, have, if those things may have surfaced earlier enough to have dealt with them so that they wouldn't be so entrenched in them by the time they were discovered. So I think it's very important to listen to our kids. And we can spend time as parents assuming we know what our kids' struggles are. And unless you ask them, you might be way off. For example, me as a minister, I learned something about my kid a few years ago that really was eye-opening. Periodically, my wife and I would ask the kids, what are your struggles? What are your temptations? And they were typical kids. There's nothing we find here. Here we go again. But then one day I asked them that question, and they said, well, Dad, there is something. So, of course, my heart sank, and I was really nervous as to what they were going to say. And they said, Dad, we really struggle being preacher's kids. And I said, well, what do you mean? They said, well, everything we do is noticed, and we're under this microscope in the church, You know, it's like the other kids our age, things don't stand out as much as if we do something. And then when we go to school, people treat us like we're rich kids. I said, well, what does that have to do with me being a minister? And, you know, these kids at school are looking at, you know, T.D. Jakes and Creflo Dollar and Eddie Long and Joel Osteen. You know, they're looking at these mega church preachers and flying jets and, you know, stuff like that. And they just assume we're rich. And so we get treated like rich kids. Now, I didn't really want to hear that, but I needed to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it helped me understand where my kids are struggling. And so if we don't have those conversations, we'll never be able to help them.
I agree.
In our last couple of minutes here, if you have a question, like to make a comment, dial the number one on your phone. As we consider the conversation tonight, there's so much that has been said. We don't want to forget, number one, we started with the question, is it important to establish respect or is it important to persuade a person to our side of the story or the side of the situation? And I want to suggest to us that we need to exercise respect. You will not always be able to persuade people of your position. Respect does not mean that we agree. It just means that I respect your right to have a different position. Sometimes we have those positions because of people who have influenced us, where we are in the family, the roles and responsibilities that we've played prior to the relationships that we're now in. When we meet someone, whatever type of relationships we get into, we come into those relationships as complex beings with lots of different experiences and having been exposed to a variety of people, circumstances, and situations. We also talked tonight about the idea that it is extremely important for us to make sure that we ask the question, why do you feel this way? To do more listening than we do talking. If we listen, if we ask the right question, why do you feel this way? Help me to understand your perspective, your view, your feeling. We may not change our perspective, but we certainly can learn to value the person and respect their position. We also discussed tonight that in our dealing with communication, we have to make sure that we listen, and listening entails esteeming others better than self, preferring one another, making sure that we're considering each other's viewpoints. Lastly, we talked about the idea of our children, how crucial it is to listen to our children. They don't have to dictate to us, but we need to listen to them to see what's in their head. What do they think? Who's influencing them? What do they value? Those conversations can be so, so important. Pat, is there anything that you wanted to say as we prepare to wrap up in our time we have left here?
You know what? No, I agree with everything you just said. Respect, I think, is definitely the most important thing when you're definitely listening to people's perspectives. And when you're respecting somebody, it doesn't mean that you lost the battle. It doesn't mean that you're giving in. It's meaning that you respect what you're saying and you're listening to what they have to say. And I think a person will respect you more if you respect them more, you know, respect them and their opinion. So you'd be surprised what kind of friendship you'll gain from that.
I want to encourage us to think about the next time we disagree with someone and we cannot get on the same page. Instead of insisting on being heard, insist on you doing the listening. And in the process of that, ask the question, I don't agree with you, but can you tell me why this is so important or how did you arrive at this viewpoint? It may make all of the difference in the world. We want to thank Pat for being on with us tonight. We know she is a busy person. She has a lot of things on her plate, and for her to take time to be my co-panelist this evening, want her to know that I appreciate it very much. And to all of you, want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing your time. Be with us each and every Monday as we talk about these all-important issues in life. May God bless you and may God keep you.
This episode of Focus Family has been brought to you by the Solomon Society. If this episode has blessed you, why not bless your friends by sending them this online address, www.blogtalkradio.com/The Grace View, so that they can hear what you have just heard. And to ensure the continuation of this great ministry, please make a tax-deductible donation to the Solomon Society. You may text your donation to 404-620-2455 or donate online at www.solomonsociety.xyz. Thanks for listening, and may the wisdom of God be forever in you.